The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Good morning. Welcome on this beautiful Easter worship, or as we learned in Sunday school today, holy guacamole, as we celebrate all the wonderful things God has done. It's great to see so many smiling faces here as we celebrate this beautiful season of Easter together. A few announcements before we get started. Please don't forget, our quarter auction is going to be coming up on this next Saturday, the 27th. Doors open at 3. It starts at 4. There's sign-up sheets in the narthex. If you've got any items to donate, get a hold of Tammy Eichel. She's happy to help you up. She's doing a great job advertising for this event. So I hope we can get a lot of people there to support this wonderful fundraiser. Also, please don't forget, on Wednesday the 24th, our spiritual companioning group will meet from 7 to 8 in Ted's room, we call it. And we actually meet for a meal. If you'd like to join us from 6:30 to 7, that's optional. Bring your own meal and we'll sit and discuss kind of what's going on in our lives. Also, National Day of Prayer will be Thursday, May 2nd at Faith Christian Church at 7 p.m. For the last 3 or 4 years, we've tried to get this on the square, and every year we've tried to do it, it's rained. So I have a feeling now that we're doing it inside on church, it's going to be a beautiful day on May 2nd. But if you get the opportunity, come to Faith Christian Church, because this is a wonderful community event. Because it's not just pastors praying for the community. Actually, there's very few pastors who pray in this service, but it's from people from different sectors of life in New Philly. Police officers, first responders, military people, teachers. It is proof of the community in action and our wider Christian church in action. And also, Food on the Fly will happen on May 8th from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. For $8, you can have a wonderful meal and support the ministries of our church. We want to thank Floyd and Delene once again for getting this started. So if you have a chance to support this when we're getting this off on the ground and running, we would greatly appreciate it. I'm excited to see how this ministry will continue to grow. And also, Saturday, May 18th, we have our Be the Church workshop at Sharon Moravian, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you'd like to join us for that, that is a great opportunity to learn about how churches can be better with mission and action and carrying that out and really making that a staple. And as Moravians, that's something we pride, so it really is an important opportunity. On Sunday, May 5th, there will be a pie auction and lunch at Dover Moravian. Immediately following worship, that is to support our kids who are going to Convo in the Virgin Islands this year. Obviously, those of you who know anything about travel, it is not a cheap trip to get down to the Virgin Islands, and this is a great opportunity for our kids. So if we can support them, that is a great opportunity to do that. And please don't forget, our ushers and greeters list is available today out in the narthex, so if you get a chance to sign up for that, that would also be greatly appreciated. Does anybody else have any other announcements to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another.
Good morning, folks.
Please remain standing as we join together for our watchword of the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 24th chapter of Luke, the 5th verse. Why do you look for him living among the dead? Jesus is not here, but has risen. You may be seated.
This is an Easter poem by Carolyn Williams.
E is for eternal life. Jesus offers to those who will believe.
A is for the miracles. A is for all the miracles Jesus performed for those who would receive.
S is for the soldiers who blocked his grave with a heavy stone.
T is where they placed Jesus. They thought he was dead and gone.
E is for everyone, for all of us, the cross Jesus bore.
R is for resurrection. Jesus will live forevermore.
Son anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Spirit and power.
We are witnesses to our Jesus and his disciples to across the world.
They put him to death by hanging him on a tree.
God raised him up on the third day and offered us victory over death.
Please remain standing as we join to sing, Christ the Lord is risen today.
Thank you. for the liturgy for Easter. The Lord is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed.
Sing this aloud. Proclaim it to the ends of the earth. The Lord has set his people free. Jesus Christ. By God's great mercy, we are given new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Praise,
honor, glory, and power to the one seated on the throne, and to the Lamb, forever and ever.
Jesus was handed over to death for our sins,
and was raised to life for our justification.
Then what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or hardship? Can persecution, hunger, nakedness, peril, or sword?
No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us.
For we are convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come,
nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
By baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.
For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, it is for the Lord that we live, and if we die, it is for the Lord that we die.
So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For Christ died, rose again, and lives again in order to be Lord of the living and of the dead.
We do not want you to be in any doubt about those who have died, or to grieve over them as others do who have no hope.
For since we believe that Jesus died, Even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died.
What we are saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
What is sown perishable
is raised imperishable.
What is sown in dishonor
is raised in glory.
What is sown in weakness
is raised in power.
What is sown a physical body
is raised a spiritual body.
Then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory.
Thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Please stand. Where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are of the earth.
For we have died, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God.
God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant,
make us complete in everything good, so that we may do your will, working among us all that is pleasing in
your sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. Don't worry, I promise we are not skipping Sing Hallelujah, Praise the Lord. I know if we did that, this would be my last Sunday at Schönbrunn, but we're going to use that for our closing hymn today. Let us turn our hearts now to our offering. Today is a day of joy. Easter is where we feel the joy in our heart. And when we think of what we give God, not only of our financial gifts, but of our spiritual gifts, it's important to remember that we don't give out of guilt or animosity, but we give out of joy, out of the gladness and the connection that Jesus Christ gives each and every one of us. So let us give now of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Please rise. Let us pray. Dear Savior,
help us to bring about new life in our world today. Help us to give with your compassion to build up mission, community, and to all whom we encounter each and every day. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. And before I share some of our prayer concerns, I want to share with you some of the Easter flower dedications that we had this Sunday. I'm from Terry and Linda Bonnell, in honor of church friends, or church family and family. For Becky Canfield and McKenna and Jacob Cannon, in memory of Ted and Catherine Canfield. For Marianne Creel, in memory of Jim Creel, Myron and Mildred Creel, Earl and Marie Tisdale. For Norman and Cheryl Cadry, in memory of Isabel, Aaron Castor, Bob and May Fainer, and Joy and Margaret Cadry. For John and Stacy Castor, in honor of Ryan, Tyler, and Brandon Castor, Norm and Cheryl Cadry, in memory of Isabel Castor, Bob and May Fainer, and Sandy Castor. From Ben and Emily Lipper, in honor of Warren Toyberg and our family. For Chloe and Paige Martin, in honor of Jane Martin and our church family, in memory of Dean and Margaret Renner and Ed Martin. The Menapace family, in memory of Eleanor Menapace. For Doug and Angie Miller, in honor of Alicia Miller and Justin Miller, our parents and grandparents, in memory of Melvin Yoder and Wallace Miller. Danielle and Kira Rossi, in memory of Barbara Durand. Millie Weston, in honor of Howdy Weston. Getting tired here. I want to thank you all for celebrating so many names as we uplift the sainthoods that were joined together with God today. When we celebrated our Easter sunrise service this morning, we celebrated the resurrection hope that was offered to Ted Canfield, Vicki Eichel, and Warren Toybert, among many others of our friends and family who are near and dear to us. And it was a wonderful celebration this morning. We had over 200 people to praise the Lord and celebrate the resurrection that was offered to these people. And to us and to those who we leave behind. Let us also remember in our prayers, Libby Pasquinelli is having surgery for her kidney stones tomorrow. Angie Miller, she continues to rest and recover from an illness. We also keep Jim Karcher in prayer, who was the next victim of this cold stuff going around. For Ian Swinderman, who's been dealing with some kidney issues. Prayers for the members of three churches in Louisiana who had their churches burned down this week. They were the victim of hate crimes. May we all respond in helping to rebuild and serve these churches. For Denny Drum, who fractured his back this past week, we pray for his strength and recovery. For Westside Moravian Church, we remember them there in Bethlehem. Their pastor, Keith Harkey, passed away last week at 52. Chris Johnson, who is, we know from the Valley here, will be serving them for the next 6 months, and we pray for them, as we know this Easter season will be specifically vulnerable. For the people of Sri Lanka, in Sri Lanka there were bombings this morning that killed hundreds of people at Easter services around the country, so our prayers are certainly with them. For Jonathan Menard, the 14-year-old Carrollton boy who passed away this past week when he was found in a field, we pray for him, his family, the community, and those who support those children. For Tim Northrup, who had a successful carpal tunnel surgery on Wednesday, we give thanks. And for this Easter season, we give thanks for the gift of family, for the gift of friends, and it brings so much joy to see so many of you come together here as we celebrate the resurrection of our risen Savior. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you with gratitude, just pouring out of our hearts. Today is the day of your resurrection, where you turn the whole world upside down, where negativity became positivity, where dreariness became hope, when death became life. We are so grateful for that. Gracious God, we specifically remember those in our church family who are among your saints today. We think of Ted and Vicky, and Warren, and so many others on our hearts. And we just want you to know that we trust that they are in your heavenly kingdom, smiling upon us. But we know that the gift of resurrection is eternal and it is wonderful. And we are so grateful for that. Gracious God, we realize there has been a lot of turmoil in our world. We pray for the people of Louisiana, Sri Lanka, and France. All have seen tragedies this past week. But help each one of them remember that out of the ashes of heartbreak, new life can be made wonderful and anew in you. So as each one of us welcome you in our heart, help us to remember that, to enjoy the small moments where spring is coming alive and new life is coming alive. For each one of us are called to serve you, to care for you, and to love for you. For there are no hands or feet for Christ in this world except ours. So when we go forth from this place, help us to be the hands and the feet that you need in this world. For there is tremendous need, but there is also tremendous love. And we are so grateful for that. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Join me for the scripture lesson, Psalm 118, 14 through 24, found on page 436 in your pew Bible. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our gospel today comes from the 24th chapter of Luke, verses 1 through 12, the resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their face to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words and returned from the tomb. They told all this to the 11 and to the rest. That was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other with them who told this to the apostles. But those words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite our children's choir forward. Oh, no children's choir. All right, sorry, no children's choir. Just come up for the children's chat, please. I forgot you switched that. So good morning.
Morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
All right. So who got, did anybody get baskets yet? Anybody get Easter eggs? Yeah, a lot to celebrate today. You got it at the Easter egg hunt? That's a good place to get Easter egg. Where'd you get them, Wynn? Okay, you got your Easter egg hunt somewhere. Okay, let's hold on a sec. So let's get down to the bottom. The important question is, why do we celebrate Easter? Nick? Jesus' death. What else? Tyler? It's an R word. It's a long one. Right? Resurrection. What does it mean to resurrect? Paige? He rose from the dead. And why is that so special? Has anybody else ever done it? Have you ever risen from the dead? Anybody out there? No? Still waiting on it? Okay. We're not dead. We're alive. And that's why we celebrate it, because Jesus brought new life, not just for him, but for everybody. And we celebrate the saints. But guess what? How do you think people respond when this happened? Do you think they were like, oh, cool. That's cool. That's just another normal Sunday. Or do you think they were surprised? Why would you be surprised? Nick. Because he rose from the dead. You saw something that had never happened before. Something.
I surprised my mommy.
You surprised your mommy when you played hide and seek. And that's actually a good example. Because guess what happened? They came to the tomb and they sought Jesus. And did they find him? No. He was hidden. There were two angels there, depending on what gospel. The tomb was open, and there were angels, and Jesus wasn't there, but they knew that he was alive. So guess what? I got kind of a hide-and-seek game for all of you. Jesus is hiding in our sanctuaries at some spot. Your job is to roll the tomb away and to find him. So where is Jesus hiding in our sanctuaries? All right, I'll give you another 30 seconds, and then I'm going to give you a hint. No, it's not the lamb. It's actually Jesus. That's a good theological point right there. But I'm actually looking for the real physical. So let's come on up here. Let's all come back up. So you don't see Jesus right now. So you're kind of like the disciples. You're trying to figure out, where in the heck did Jesus go? So you know what the disciples had to do? They had to change their perspective. They had to change how they looked at the world. So I want you to get down on your knees. Look out this way. Look out that way and see where you can find Jesus. Maybe he's underneath one of these pews, perhaps. Oh, I think we're getting warmer right there. He's duct taped, possibly, so you may want to pull the tape off. There we go. Let's give them a round of applause. They found Jesus. And so, how do you think the disciples felt when they found Jesus after they thought he was lost and dead? Excited. They probably yelled hooray just like we did. They celebrated and applauded. And I want you all to remember that. Because you can struggle to find Jesus in your life at some times, but he's always there, underneath the surface, looking for you, ready to take care of you, and bouncing with the hope that he offers each and every one of us. So we're going to do our joyful noise offering right now. And we're going to raise some money for a very important cause. Is Esperanza? We're going to raise it for the Esperanza Ministry in Bethlehem. They have started a new church home, and we're looking to support them. If you don't have enough, go with somebody else. Carter, you want to take Wynn with you? Hey, do you want to go with Brandon? Raise your hand if you haven't had a chance to give any change yet. Good businesswoman over there. Here you go, Mr. Nick. All right, let's bring them on up. Let's put them down right here. Good job. Great work. Well, that's good. We all did it together. Awesome. Good job, Wynn. Good job. That's all money we raised to help an important ministry in Bethlehem as they get a new church home. So let's get in our circle. Everybody, let's get in a circle. Grab a hand. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Wynn. We can get Wynn in there, too. You want to get their hand, Aubrey? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these kids, for the wonderful energy and enthusiasm they have. Help them to have a joyous Easter, and help them to remember why we celebrate this season. Because it's not about the baskets or the bunnies, but it's about you, the risen Savior. And help them to know that no matter how old or young they are, Jesus will always be in their lives. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Grab a treat before you go. Look good, yeah. Please remain stand, or please rise as we join together to sing. Yeah, I'm that tired right now. To God be the glory. Thank you. seated. Let's take a moment in prayer, if that's okay. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the message that you inspire within us today. We realize that many of us have heard the story of resurrection many times, but help us to listen as this is the first time, to listen with awe and the wonder and the amazement that the disciples had. But we know that this is a miraculous gift given to each and every one of us. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So Luke's passage has a very important question to start his gospel retelling. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Pretty easy question, a pretty important question. Because signs of life, if you look at them, never look as beautiful as when they are positioned so closely to signs of death. Roses in cemeteries have beautiful color and texture when placed against a gravestone of a beloved family member or friend. Many people, in fact, credit near-death experiences as the reason they decided to live fulfilling lives. Car accidents, strokes, cancer, heart attacks. Ironically, sometimes it takes one foot in the grave to remind us just how precious and wonderful life can be. A symbol of life among the presence of death can be powerful. A few years ago, Emily and I had the privilege of going to Washington, D.C. I'm on a tour with the seminary to the Holocaust Museum. And obviously that is a very emotionally heavy toll facility. But the most heartbreaking part of that tour for me, it wasn't the video or the artifacts or the haunting statistics or stories. It was an exhibit at the end of the tour where they walked you past thousands of shoes. I mean, thousands of shoes. And those shoes belonged to people at concentration camps that never made it home. And these symbols of everyday life in the midst of overwhelming suffering and death leave an impression on all who walk past them. I know it left a deep impression on me. And the beautiful thing about the resurrection of Jesus is that he is not just a symbol of life among death, but he is the real thing. He defeated death. He defeated the grave. He fought the cosmic battle of good and evil and made sure good not only won the battle, but from that day forth, good had won the war. God wins. Love wins. And what I love about Luke's version of the resurrection is he doesn't credit one person discovering the empty tomb. He uses they a lot. Luke 24:1 said, "They came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body." That's five examples of they, in two very short passages. As if Christ walking out of that tomb is such a crazy and amazing concept that no one person wants to take credit for witnessing it. Any of you who have siblings, you know that when sometimes you do something crazy, you and your sibling together, something that maybe mom and dad wouldn't approve of, and they catch you in the act, it's not I that's in trouble. It's we that did this. We that went on this crazy adventure. And through thick and thin, you are in it together, whether you like it or not. I hear a few amens over there. And it is such an important thing to have those people to be accountable with you. For they realize that truly believing that Christ was alive after he had died was more likely to get them instituted in an insane asylum than being credited as the witnesses to the greatest miracle of all time. In modern terms, they realize this moment required more exclamation points and emojis than their hands could type. There was nothing they could come up with that equaled the magnitude of the moment they experienced. For the stone was rolled away, and it was never coming back. Everything they thought about the world had been forever changed by that one moment in time. The Lord has risen. Death's powerful permanence had been replaced by the peaceful presence of eternal life. The negativity of ordinary life had been crushed by the extraordinary positivity of the miraculous. Jesus no longer could be seen as just a man and a prophet with a few wise sayings. Because the people that saw Jesus that Easter morning would forever be hit with a crossroad in their heart. They needed to admit to themselves and others that Jesus was the Messiah, the living, breathing, true God, or they needed to ignore the truth in front of their eyes. They needed to attempt to rationalize something that was completely irrational. This is why their eyes glistened with awe and wonder. It wasn't because they had a lack of faith. It was because they were human. So brothers and sisters, what stones do you need to roll away in your life? What keeps you from seeing your ordinary life as an extraordinary gift? What keeps you from believing in the good of people? What keeps you from fully trusting in the hope that God offers us in this life or the next? For Easter at its core always needs to be a season of hope. Because when you feel trapped by routine, staleness, and weighed down by the expectations that others place upon you, take a risk in a direction that God is calling you to try. If Jesus had been the person people expected him to be, he would have been a wonderful king and ruler, and he would have died peacefully to be remembered by the history book. But God had something greater in store for Jesus, and God has something greater in store for each of you. Because we have nothing to lose when we take a big, giant step out of our comfort zone into a new ministry or a new opportunity. We will always have our routine and our expectations to fall back on. And truth be told, I'm not scared of the church failing with new endeavors in the 21st century. I'm infinitely more scared of a church that doesn't have the courage or the faith to try something new. Les Brown famously said, "It is better to aim high and miss than to aim low and hit." Meaning always try to be the best that you can be. So what do you do in your life that allows you to see the good in people? What do you do that allows you to see the good in people? Many of you work difficult jobs and different opportunities where it can be hard to see some of the good and positive acts of humanity. And I know for me, I can leave church on Sunday in that beautiful bubble on an emotional high. But then Monday morning comes pretty quickly. The first thing that hits me after I've woken up and I've gotten to work is that telemarketer who's been calling for 3 straight years trying to sell me the same thing. And I've gotten to the point where I just put a recording of my sermon on my phone and just put it on for him. I think that's the most Christian response I've come up with lately. The other responses have not been Christian. And then I turn on my social media. I go to my phone and I see there's a breeding ground. Social media is a breeding ground for negativity, for feeling sorry, the self-pity that happens there. And then I'll turn on the news, and they're still living proudly by the mantra, if it bleeds, it leads. And sometimes it's almost dangerous to watch the first 10 minutes of the news. And by Monday afternoon, it's easy to feel depressed, to be weighed down by all the negativity in the world. And any of us can have that feeling, that emotion. It's hard not to be impacted by such a toxic environment. And when you are breathing in those toxic fumes, take a step back and get a godly perspective of your life. Because you are seeing the strokes that are only painted with a broad brush. And our God is an artist who paints with a much finer brush than most people pay attention to. Almost weekly, I see a new benefit or dinner for someone in the community who has fallen on hard times. I see hundreds, if not thousands, in Tuscarawas County who receive the benefits from a local food pantry
the homeless shelter, the friends of the homeless. Compassion in our community continues to grow because Christ's compassion within us continues to grow. Things are getting better every day. And that's perhaps the final stone that we need to roll away, is that negative attitude that we all have about the world being a bad place, the Chicken Little attitude that the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The sky is not falling. Don't believe it for a second. This is God's world, and God is good. This is God's world, and God is good. And Christ would have avoided the cross if he didn't see what we are capable of. He knew full well what he was laying his life down for, and he knew that it was worth it. Because we are capable of loving God. We are capable of being compassionate with no ulterior motive. We are capable of loving one another wholeheartedly. So God let all false ideas about God and humanity die at the cross with Jesus. And out of that despair, an everlasting hope in the good of all creation, in the good of all people, was born. And from that world on, the world would never be the same. Now that doesn't make our task of being hopeful and God-loving people an easy one. Because when we testify about all the good things God is doing in our world, many will call us foolish or crazy. It was the same response of many who testified of the risen Lord. In every single gospel account, there's somebody who goes, "Oh yeah, Jesus is risen? Yeah, right. That never happened. There's no way that could have possibly happened." And every time, they're blown out of their shoes, because it really did happen. The Lord was risen. So when we manage this negativity, and one of my favorite quotes is from Tim Tebow, who says, "You're always going to have critics and naysayers. People that are going to tell you that you won't, that you can't, and that you shouldn't." And most of the people that say that are people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't. You're always going to have critics and naysayers. They're going to be the ones that tell you you won't, you can't, and you shouldn't. And most of those people are the people that didn't, that wouldn't, that couldn't. Brothers and sisters, God changes that for us. Because God teaches us that we can, we should, and we will make this world a better place. We can, we should, and we will make this world a better place. Because the gift of resurrection that is offered to each and every one of us, the gift of hope that is shared with each of us. The stone has rolled away in Christ's life and in ours. And our risen Savior and our light within us can never be buried again. That stone can never be put back. Love will continue to win. God will continue to win. And that is why we celebrate Easter. Because the resurrection of Jesus isn't just about the miracle of one person, but it's a gift that is given to each of us as children of God. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and really continue to instill these words within us, to be people of hope, to not take the miracle of resurrection for granted, because we know this wasn't just about propping Jesus up, but to remind us that we should put our trust in him, put our trust in his hope, put his trust in his faith, and put our trust in his love. For we know that at our core, we may struggle with who we are, but we are faithful people, we are hopeful people, and we are loving people. And when negativity happens in our world, help us to trust in God and to know that in all times and all places, your love will abide in each one of us. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together to sing. Sing hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Lord is risen indeed, and now the pastor and organist slumber. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.